The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all. The president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. The times, they are a-changin'. Bob Dylan made that line popular years ago, but he might as well have been talking about the Bucks of 2024. In a tumultuous week, Adrian Griffin replaced as head coach. Doc Rivers now on board, bringing years of head coaching experience. In the middle of it all, the team hit the road for the toughest trip of the season. It started with a loss Monday night in Denver. No doubt it's been a wild ride so far. A season of change, not just in Milwaukee, but across the NBA. Tonight, we welcome a guy who has a unique view of the pace of change across the league. From New York, our special guest is the Deputy Commissioner and Chief Operating Officer of the NBA, Mark Tatum. Mark, thanks for joining us. Welcome to Courtside.
Gail, it's great to be back and always good to talk to you.
Oh, good to talk to you. Thank you for your time, Mark. And looking at the bigger picture, we hear a lot about the growth and popularity of the game literally around the world. And interesting, at least to me, when you look at the list of NBA superstars today, it's striking how many of those players are from Europe, starting, of course, with the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Your thoughts?
Oh, it's incredible the influence of the international players, particularly the European players who are coming to our league. When you look at the quality and the quantity, of course, from a quantity standpoint, we have a record number, 125 players who are playing in the NBA today that were born outside the United States. And then, of course, the winners of our last five MVP awards were won by three international players, including Milwaukee Bucks' own Giannis Antetokounmpo, who won back-to-backs, and then Jokic, Nikola Jokic, and Joel Embiid, who had a monstrous night. So the influence of the international players on our game today is really, really incredible.
And Mark, speaking of Giannis, he's setting an incredible pace this season. The only player, as you know, averaging more than 30 points a game and making more than 60% of his shots from the field. How would you describe his influence on the game?
He's on fire. He's on fire. He is having another MVP-type year, and the fans are recognizing him, by the way. So he is, in our last All-Star fan voting result, he was the lead vote-getter with more than 4 million votes. So the fans around the world are recognizing his contributions, his performance on the court. There's not another player in the league that wants to win as much as Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he goes out there and plays with tremendous energy every single night on the court. He leaves it all out there, and he's just a fun player to watch.
Oh, he really is. I think, actually, Mark, that Thanasis voted 3 million times, but I'm not sure.
I don't doubt that.
Speaking of energy, right?
That's right.
Well, Mark, for Bucks fans, one of the most exciting games so far this season featured the matchup between Giannis and that young French phenom, Victor Wembanyama. Giannis won the battle, but after the game, he said he's never seen anything like Wemby. Give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Wemby's a special player. I mean, if he's got a lot of high expectations that have been placed on him, but he's a really, really great young man. And again, for a player like that to come into this league with such high expectations and then to really, meet those expectations and exceed them has been fascinating to watch. I think the other players have a tremendous amount of respect for him, for his skill level. We've never quite seen a player like him that's, 7 feet, 4 inches, that can dribble, that can shoot, that can pass, that has high basketball IQ that he does. And he's just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And so I think what you're seeing is, the veteran players in the league, they're sizing them up a little bit, but they all have demonstrated a tremendous amount of respect for him, the way he carries himself. the way that he dedicates himself to really getting better and learning the game. And so I think the future is very, very bright when it comes to Victor.
And Mark, as the deputy commissioner, I know you have to stay objective. You can't, you know, publicly have favorite children. But how do you view the progress and development of the Bucks over the past few years?
Well, look, the Bucks are a championship-level team. There's no doubt about that. They are playing really good basketball. You know, they're second in the Eastern Conference behind a very strong Boston Celtics team. So they're going to, you know, the thing, our inaugural in-season tournament, being in the Final Four there. So they've got a championship mindset, a championship build, and championship aspirations. And I think that that's an exciting time right now. I think the addition, of course, of Damian Lillard added a ton of excitement to the marketplace as well. And Milwaukee Bucks basketball is must-see basketball.
And we saw Dame time the other night, as you probably saw from reviewing all the league games. Dame had an incredible buzzer beater, you know, from way, way deep near the logo, off balance to the left, falling away. It was just an amazing shot.
That's what Dame does, right? That's what Dame does.
Well, more with Mark Tatum, the deputy commissioner of the NBA, in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Back to Gale and the NBA's deputy commissioner, Mark Tatum.
Mark, as you know, being an NBA referee, one of the toughest jobs on the planet. Tell our listeners, if you will, how the league selects, trains, monitors referees, and how do you try to achieve consistency on the way the games are called?
Yeah, referees, and being a referee in this league is one of the hardest jobs in the world, quite frankly. It's one of the most scrutinized occupations in the world. Every single call you make, every single call you don't make, is right there and available for everyone to see and to review. And so we go, and our referees go through a very extensive process of, one, identifying referees at different stages, different levels around the world, and sourcing those people that have an interest in becoming a referee and an NBA referee. And then they go through a process of training and educating and going through the G League as an example. That's a great training ground for our referees, and many of our most recent referees have come from the G League ranks. But it's a multi-year process, Gail, to prepare for and get ready to become an NBA referee. And then once you become an NBA referee, there is extensive training that's being done there, too, by Monty McCutcheon, a former referee himself, who works with all the referees to get them better and to make them the best at what they do in their craft. And we have our entire referee operations staff that is constantly evaluating them for positioning, making sure that that the rules are being enforced properly and appropriately, that we're reviewing every single game, that we're very transparent about calls that that our referees get right and the ones that they get wrong. They're human, after all, and humans do make mistakes. And so what we try to do is ensure that we are being transparent with our calls, and that we're always constantly striving to get the call right and to be as good as they can.
Mark, how is the innovation now a few years old of the Coach's Challenge? How's that working out?
It's been fantastic. You know, we obviously added a second Coach's Challenge this year based on feedback from our teams and the coaches, and I think the fans enjoyed it as well. It gives us an opportunity to get the calls right. That is our objective. That's our goal every single time. And the Coach's Challenge is a strategic opportunity for in those particular cases where a coach or a team may think that's that one of our referees got it wrong. It gives them an opportunity to try to challenge that. And so the coaches are using them. And again, I think it makes our game better.
Well, Mark, the stars are about to come out soon. The NBA All-Star Game on the horizon, a night when the greatest in the game are all on the same floor. I'm curious about your view, Mark. What is the NBA doing to get kind of the right balance to that All-Star Game, to put on a competitive event but still minimize the risk of player injury?
Yeah, that's right. It's an exhibition game at the end of the day, and so we don't want anybody to go out there and get injured. At the same time, we want the game to be competitive and for there to be a great show for the fans around the world who tune in for it. And so the players understand that. We're making a few changes in Indianapolis this year to prior All-Star games. We're going back to the traditional East versus West. I think that's going to make a difference. In the last couple of years, we went to more of a pickup format, and it was quite frankly hard for the players there to, they didn't even know what team they were playing on, quite frankly, right until before the tip-off. So now we're going back to that East versus West. They'll be practicing as a team. We're going to go back to a little bit more of a traditional timing and format around the games. And we're having conversations directly with the players, directly with the coaches, that we don't want anyone to get hurt, but that we expect them to go out there and compete. And so I think that message has been getting through to the players, and I think they all understand that and are very supportive of that as well.
So, Mark, you think we might see a little defense in that game?
I do think we will. I do think we will. And you know, and again, Giannis, I know he loves playing defense, so I can imagine Giannis will be one of those players who will be out there playing defense.
Oh, you're right. I think in Giannis' first All-Star game, he didn't get the memo.
I remember that. I remember he was going at it like it was a finals game, and guys sort of looked at him a little bit sideways. But no, the guys understand, and we've been having lots of conversations directly with them that we want the game to be competitive. We want them to be safe. We don't want anyone to get hurt, but we want it to be competitive, and I think we can expect that this year.
Very good. Well, Mark, switching gears, you've been in the league office, gosh, since 1999. And you've been a big part of the innovations we've seen. If you will, talk about the most recent change, the introduction of the in-season tournament, and Mark, given fan reaction across the country, I'm guessing the in-season tournament is here to stay.
That's a safe bet there, Gail. It is a concept that we had been talking about for probably the better part of the last 15 years or so, and we've talked to the competition committee about it, to the teams about it, to our players about it, and it has been so well received. You know, our season is a long regular season, and we've got an extended playoffs. That's sort of the model in the United States. And at the end of that long season, there was a single champion. And so, you know, in the words of some of our GMs, it felt like at the end of that season, there's one winner and there's 29 losers. And so, you know, we thought that there was an opportunity for us to create a new championship tradition that would be meaningful to teams, to players, to our marketing partners, and to our fans. And we actually saw that this happened in other parts of the world, in both basketball and soccer. This concept of these in-season tournaments, these in-season cups, was a very familiar concept. And as we saw more international players coming into our league, the guys like Luka Doncic, for example, who played in cups and won those cups internationally, it became more of a natural thing for the players to say, we get it. And so to create this new tradition without expanding the footprint of the season, other than that one final game, was the challenge for us. And I think we're always looking to ensure that our NBA season remains that compelling on-court product for our fans. That's a priority. I think the in-season tournament helped us do that.
Very good, Mark. And again, tremendous reaction. And I know that you're looking forward to continuing that tournament. And we'll have more with the Deputy Commissioner of the NBA, Mark Tatum, right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and the NBA's Deputy Commissioner, Mark Tatum.
Mark, let's talk about one of the big items on your agenda, negotiations for future broadcast and streaming rights for the NBA games. The media landscape, of course, is very different today than when the last national contracts were signed. Can you give us, Mark, a brief overview of the timeline and the top two or three issues that are on the table?
That's right. Yep. Yeah. So our current deals are with Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery, and those deals run through the end of next season. So we've got the rest of the season and one more season. I will tell you that both of them are longstanding partners, and it's my expectation and hope that we'll stay in business with them for many, many years ahead. We've got a window right now where we can negotiate exclusively with them this spring. And I can tell you that conversations are ongoing with them. We're also encouraged by what I call the breadth of prospective new partners, too, who have expressed strong interest in our rights. You probably saw the partnership today that Netflix announced with the WWE. They are now in the live sports business. And what we're really seeing is, I think, a watershed moment for the league. So I think our next set of agreements will really help shape the future of the NBA and how fans consume NBA basketball and probably all of sports for years to come, right? Because this next partnership that we do is going to be a longer-term deal. And so we want to make sure that we're taking a fan-first approach, that our games are accessible, that we maximize our reach to as many fans as possible. We want discoverability to be a key element here, so we want to make it really easy for fans to find out where our games are. Sometimes I know that's a challenge today, to find out where a game is, depending on if it's local or national. So we need to solve that problem. And then finally, the other priority is really reimagining the live game viewing experience. Many of our fans now really want more interactivity, more content, more data, and so really reimagining how we present our games to our fans is a huge priority for us in a future deal going forward. So I think it's likely, Gail, that we'll see a combination of television distribution and streaming distribution in our future.
Mark, do you think some of that change would involve streaming only games, or do you think the approach would be available, games available on both broadcast and streaming at the same time?
It's a good question. I think those are the conversations that we're still having today. Clearly, the NFL did do streaming only with some of their games, and I think that's a possibility for us. The streaming platforms have all sort of expressed an interest, if you will, in things like the in-season tournament, for example, and making that a streaming product. But none of those decisions have been made yet. Like I said, one of our goals is to ensure accessibility and reach for our fans and maximizing reach. But there will likely be, again, some hybrid of television, traditional over-the-air, cable, and streaming.
It will be interesting. And Mark, looking ahead, 30 teams today in the NBA, what are the prospects for expansion of the league?
Well, we said publicly, Gail, that expansion is not currently on our agenda. What we had stated before is that we needed to negotiate a new CBA, which we did, and that we had to negotiate our new media deals, which we're doing, and that once we get those two things done, then we would turn back to the potential for expansion. So there are no doubt several great markets, both inside and outside the United States, quite frankly, that have expressed interest in having an NBA team. And we'll turn back to those discussions once we emerge from our next round of media deals.
Terrific. Well, Mark, you have a very interesting personal background. Born in Vietnam, moved to Brooklyn at age one. Loved sports growing up, but thought you might want to be a doctor, I understand, until you took that first course in organic chemistry.
That's right. That was a tough one. That it did its job, and it weeded me out.
And as we wrap up this great conversation, Mark, what message would you like to leave with Bucks fans everywhere?
I would say appreciate your team. The Milwaukee Bucks, like I said, have championship aspirations. They've got the talent to win another NBA championship. And so as a Milwaukee Bucks fan, if you're listening to this, you got to feel great about your team. You got to feel great about the prospects in that city. And I'm just wishing everyone there the best of luck.
Well, Mark, look forward to your next visit to Milwaukee. Look me up and I'll buy you a bratwurst.
Thank you, Gail. I look forward to it.
And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.